FM News Talk 97.1. On-demand audio.
So let's bring in our next guest here. He is Curtis Ellis, Senior Policy Advisor for America's First Policies, americasfirstpolicies.org. Served on the Presidential Transition Team and as a Special Advisor to the Secretary of Labor in the President Donald J. Trump administration. Curtis, thanks for joining us here on the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Hey, great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so Curtis, did you just see this breaking news? I don't want to catch you off guard, but this just came across our wires.
Yeah,
so comment on that, please.
Well, look, President Trump has finally gotten the attention of Beijing, the communist rulers in China. They're finally paying attention. For 30 years, they've been playing us, and every time we issue a strongly worded statement or express our displeasure at the way they're ripping us off or some other gobbledygook like that, the Chinese have said, okay, sure, we'll talk about it. Let's talk about it. We'll have a high-level negotiation. We'll have a high-level dialogue, a meaningful exchange of views. And they don't do anything. They continue stealing from us. Well, President Trump said he whacked them over the head with some tariffs. And not just that, at the same time he did that, he's got the entire intelligence and defense apparatus in action, cracking down on the Chinese espionage rings that are operating everywhere. And now, finally, they're paying attention. So, yes, they have now said they will suspend tariffs. They said they're going to lower the tariffs on cars. And we're starting to see some at least recognition of reality, if not progress, from the Chinese.
Yeah, Curtis, is it a correct statement, a correct position for me to state that, and you just kind of referenced it over the last 30 years, but no president has done what President Donald J. Trump has been, which is to sit down with the Chinese leadership, with the top leadership in China, look them in the eye and say, we're tired of you, taking us to the cleaners on trade.
That's right. You're exactly right. And as you said before, both parties have been guilty of this, whether it's the Democrats or the Republicans. Both parties have played along with the happy talk and just let China get away with this. No one has done anything. Look, after the Soviet Union collapsed and the Berlin Wall came down, everybody thought it was the end of history. Now we're all one big happy family and everybody's going to buy and sell from each other, and they're all going to become just like the United States of America. They're going to listen to Elvis Presley records and be happy eating McDonald's and voting for the candidate of their choice. It didn't quite work out that way. As China became more powerful and more prosperous, the Communist Party became stronger, and they built up their military. They didn't lay down their arms and beat their swords into plowshares. They just beat better swords.
Exactly.
And so now we're back to reality. We have a president who is willing to recognize reality. You see, all those other people in Washington think, well, you know, this is what we learned at the Kennedy School of Government, is that countries that trade with each other don't go to war with each other, and
right.
So therefore it's all good. So yeah, you're exactly right. For 30 years and beyond, no president, any country, any party has ever stood up to China the way finally President Donald J. Trump is doing.
Yeah, Curtis, we have decades of maybe it had good intentions, but in practice, it did not serve our national interests very well, did it, to have this the previous policies on trade with China. You know, I have a lot of my buddies on the left are they're apoplectic, right? They're arguing with me all the time, oh, this is hurting the American farmer, this is hurting the American worker. You know, maybe in the short term there's gonna be some short term pain, but Curtis, we need to go through this, don't we, for the long term gain. I saw a quote you had, you were interviewed earlier this year, and there was an article I found where you said, we will be an agricultural colony for China if this trade status quo remains. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I can't agree with you more, and not just on what you said about me, because of course I agree with myself. There may be some short-term pain, but you know, you want to talk about short-term pain? Talk about our parents or grandparents' generation who stormed the beaches of Normandy and faced some short-term pain from machine guns in order to protect our way of life. So if we have to pay a little bit more for a toaster oven or maybe find another market for our soybeans, well, yeah, are we willing to do that to defend our way of life? John Kennedy said, we will bear any burden and pay any price to defend liberty. Well, we might have to pay a little more for a toaster oven. But what I meant was, look, in 1775, Britain was the workshop of the world. That was called globalization. Globalization was called the British Empire at the time. And their vision was Britain was the high-tech manufacturer. At that time, high-tech was being able to make clothing out of cotton, but that was high-tech. And to make steel out of iron ore, mm-hmm. that was the technology. Britain was going to be the center of high-tech in the world, and the United States was going to sell them cotton, sell them ore, sell them lumber, sell them all the raw materials, and be an agricultural colony. Now the vision is China is the workshop of the world, and we will sell them our soybeans, sell them our natural gas, sell them all the raw materials that will then be made into the finished goods, the high-tech manufactured goods, and they'll send them back to us. So that's the vision. That's really the bottom line of the Chinese vision, and I'll tell you, Wall Street's vision of what globalization means. Not that we will make things here, not that we will do more than just grow things and pull stuff out of the earth to then send to some factory on the other side of the world to be made into what we need to live the life we're used to. So, yeah, if we're not, look, it's nice that China has announced that they're going to buy more soybeans, mm-hmm. they're going to buy more natural gas. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a beginning, but that's not the end of this process, because we don't want to become an agricultural and resource colony for the big bad manufacturers sitting there in Beijing.
Absolutely, absolutely. Speaking to Curtis Ellis, Senior Policy Advisor for America's First Policies, they're at America'sFirstPolicies.org. Curtis, last question I have for you. Isn't it dangerous for the Democrats and their communication arm, which is the mainstream media, and the left have this intense focus on all things Russia all the time, taking our eye and taking the America trying to take the American people's eyes off the ball of the real danger to our national security, our economic security in the future, and that is the superpower that China wants to become?
Absolutely. This is the greatest danger right now. Look, Russia is basically Mexico with nuclear weapons.
Right.
They're not a huge power. They're not a huge economic threat at all. There was a story, maybe you saw it the other day, they had on Russian TV, they had this robot, right? It was supposed to be a high-tech robot. Everybody was excited about it. Turned out to be a guy in a robot suit. I mean, that's the stage of Russian technology.
They're a facade of their former self. They really are.
Exactly. And even then, all they had were, they had great mathematicians so they could make nuclear weapons. They couldn't make a stamp that would stick to an envelope. They were really not the manufacturing superpower or anything else. But China is, and China is determined to become the world leader in every realm, technology, economics, military, and they have willing collaborators right inside our country. On Wall Street, in academia, they're mounting influence campaigns as well as doing the espionage. Like we saw, Marriott is a great example.
Oh yeah, talk about that, because China is doing actual harm to real Americans.
That's right. They steal our trade secrets and hack into our corporations all the time. But they went into the federal government personnel database and got the names and personal information for everybody who's ever gotten a check from the government. Mm. Now they're trying to figure out from that who can they turn to make into a spy, into an agent, and who, by the way, might be working inside China as a spy. So then they go and they hack every other database they can, and they went into Marriott. Marriott has a huge number of hotels growing rapidly in China. So they grabbed the database of everybody who's ever stayed at a Marriott hotel or joined the, you know, rewards, you know, Starwood Preferred Rewards Group, and gotten the, and now they can marry up that information and figure out who's been where doing what. Now, At the same time they did this hard espionage operation against Marriott, they've been twisting Marriott's arm publicly to make them toe the party line. When some kid in Cleveland working for $14 an hour running the Twitter feed for Marriott retweeted something about Tibet, Beijing picks up the phone, calls up Marriott's CEO and says, "That's not acceptable. Tibet is a very sensitive topic. Do you want to do business in China? If not, stop talking about Tibet." And they fired that kid. And then they took down Marriott's website in China because Marriott on its website referred to Taiwan as a country. Again, very sensitive topic to the Communist Party of China. So they've been doing this all over the place. They run these Confucius Institutes on the campuses of America where they give these universities a whole lot of money and set up these supposedly Chinese cultural educational programs. But the culture that they impart about China is don't talk about dissidents, don't talk about freedom, don't talk about Tibet, don't talk, basically Chinese Communist Party propaganda. And they've been doing this everywhere. And as I said, they have enlisted, there's a great report from the Hudson Institute that goes details this. They've enlisted a lot of the businesses and business leaders and investment banks that make a lot of money making deals in China. They've essentially enlisted these people as lobbyists for China, unofficial, unregistered agents of foreign influence, but they're there in Washington saying, we don't want to offend China because it's very important that we have this global relationship, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they're taking their orders, taking their direction, taking their cues from the Chinese Communist Party. It's very insidious. Look, we were told when we opened up to China and started trading with them, they would become more like us.
Right, Curtis. Curtis. All the eggheads in D.C. said that we were going to trade them into democracy and the free market. Right, that was the plan.
And now it's working the other way.
Right,
we're becoming more like them. It's like don't offend the rulers, don't offend the Chinese. You better toe the party line because you want to make some money, don't you? Just shut up and go along with it. So they've turned the tables on us, and finally we're waking up, thanks to President Donald J. Trump. We are waking up and saying the emperor has no clothes. They're not democratic. They're not becoming more like us, and we're getting taken to the cleaners.
In fact, Curtis, isn't this current leader, Xi, isn't he very much a throwback to the old-school communist dictatorships, right? He's very much an entrenched party guy, right? He's a communist party guy, totally.
Totally, and he's been made president for life. Right?
President for life. that's very democratic.
That kind of system, though, if you fall out of favor, your life could be over tomorrow. he's president for life, which isn't as good as it might sound.
Right.
But yes, they're now peddling just the way they used to have Chairman Mao thought and little red books, and people would march around. Now they have Chairman Xi Jinping thought, and they're handing out little books of aphorisms of this is what you're supposed to believe. They're calling in all the businesses and saying, make sure that you've got somebody down there on the shop floor indoctrinating people with communist thought. And the other thing they're doing, which actually plays to our benefit, but they haven't figured that out yet, is you don't want to disagree with Chairman Xi Jinping. You don't want to disagree with the party line. You don't want to say anything that is contrary to what he's saying. So therefore, fall in line. Well, what it is, they've cut themselves off from any real dialogue and be open. So if Chairman Xi says, oh, don't worry, if we put tariffs on America, they will buckle under and they will fall in line. And everybody's saying, yes, sir, yes, sir. So let us now put tariffs on America and that will make them fall in line. Well, why don't they actually pick up the phone or talk to somebody in the White House or in Washington and say, what do you think? Do you think President Trump, we're going to be able to play him the way we played President Clinton? They don't want to ask that.
And they
don't want to offend the party line.
It's a whole new world. Curtis Ellis, we got to let you go. You're Senior Policy Advisor for America's First Policies, americasfirstpolicies.org. Curtis, that was a great kind of a trip around the world, so to speak, against the backdrop of this breaking news today of China suspending tariff hikes on $126 billion of U.S. cars and auto parts. It could be a good day for America. Hey, Curtis, thanks for joining us. Hope to have you back again soon.
You bet. Anytime. Merry Christmas.
Same to you. Merry Christmas to you, too, to you and yours. Tim Jones in for Mark Cox, the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Get more at 971talk.com.